Now, we study God's word and we are in the process of attaining advanced degrees, and that's from the Church of God University. Church of God University. Did you ever matriculate at the Church of God University? Well, you're here, so you're going to that university. But when we graduate, we're not going to be called doctors, or we're not even be called masters or anything like that. We're going to be called graduated children of God. That's what we're in the process of attaining right now. We want to be children of God. And we, you and I, we should currently be practicing that which we will go on to preach. If you're not doing it now, you're not going to have that degree. You're not going to be a child of God unless you're doing it now. So, the question is, how do we learn that? What do we do? Well, there's someone that has existed in the world that we can emulate, that we can follow, that we can practice after, and that was Jesus Christ. So the question that I want to bring up, and then as best I can answer today, is how did Jesus live? What did he do? What did he do when he was, you know, those 33 years that he spent on earth? How did he live that we can learn from and emulate and begin to practice on our own? Now, if you're listening to this message today, you're on the right path. If you're listening, the Sabbath was made for people. And if you're a person, I don't see anybody out there that's not a person. If you're a person, then God's Sabbath was made for you. You. Remember when I say you, I'm really talking to myself, you know. It was made for you. God's Sabbath was made for you. By keeping God's Sabbath in your life as though your life depended on it, you will someday realize that your life does depend on it. And that doesn't mean that the other people out there are cut off. Someday they'll learn the same thing, that their life depends on the Sabbath too. After that discovery about how important the Sabbath really is there anything more that we really need to know? And you bet there is. Are there any instructions that God has laid out for people like you and me to follow? Yeah, there are. The answer to that is yes, and those answers are found in God's word. We have the Bible. Got the Bible here. See? Right there. It's worn out where I put my thumb. Also, it's worn out on the inside where I put my eyes, but you know, you have to use it. You have to read your Bible. You have to think about it. You have to study the word. And you have to ask, Father in heaven, give me the understanding. I can read the words, but what do they mean? And with God's Spirit, we can come to understand what it really is all about. I mentioned the Sabbath, but I want to mention one other thing. And when you get this other thing, that'll be 80% of what you have to learn. There's still 20% left. I'm not going to go into that. But after the Sabbath, what is it that we have to learn? Well, you have to learn about the holy days. You have to learn about the holy days because the holy days present the plan of God in a thumbnail sketch. Thumbnail's not very big. My thumb is even small. And when I played football, I couldn't catch the ball very good because my hands are not big enough, you know. You need big hands to handle those footballs. It has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but a thumbnail sketch of God's plan is found in Leviticus 23. If you don't know what it's all about, you go there, you study it, and you find out what it's all about. Now, let's get to the good stuff. Our destiny as children of God is to inhabit eternity. Not San Diego, not this little room that we're in. Our destiny as conceived by the Father and the Son is to inhabit eternity. It's not a place, I don't even know what it is because my mind is not big enough. But eternity is big, I'll tell you that much. And our elder brother, Jesus Christ, will show us and tell us how to do it. So that means we're going to have to study the way that he lived in order to be able to do it right. But I have to throw in this little thing. If you're like me or Dennis, you're going to say, but I'm only human. You know, you're telling me I'm supposed to be like Jesus, the Son of God. And that's what God is saying. God is saying he wants us to be like Jesus, the Son of God. But as Dennis would say, or I would say, and he's smiling at me and I'm smiling at him, that's the truth. Don't you think that God knows that? Don't you think that God knows how inadequate we are? Absolutely. He made us. Father and Son made us. They created us, and they created us with that inadequacy that somehow or another, down the road, we're going to have to admit that we're inadequate. When we do that, we've begun. Now, people learn in several different ways, but the finest way to learn, and I mean this from being a teacher, the finest way to learn is by example. When you see somebody doing something right, you can learn from that. And any of you that are parents know that if you do it right, your kids pick up on that. If you do it wrong, they pick up on that too. Really quick. Really quick. And God knew that. That's the way we were designed. We were designed to be like that. Wasn't a mistake. Jesus is our example. And we can learn all we need to know by studying and learning how he lived. So how did Jesus live? Well, we read and learn right away that he followed the rules that his Father had laid down. The rules that are in God's word. Jesus followed the rules. And why did he follow the rules? Well, he followed the rules because his parents taught him the rules. They knew God's word. They taught him God's word. When you're working in that area, you're almost inevitably going to do it correctly. His parents followed those rules when he was born. They brought him up following God's rules. Circumcision for Jesus is recorded in God's word. Why'd they circumcise him? They circumcised him because they were told to do it that way. He was a young child, 8 days old, so they had him circumcised. And then we read at age 12, he was keeping God's feast with his parents in Jerusalem. We should note, that at age 12, he was sharp enough and interested enough in God's word to be engaged with the elders in the temple in Jerusalem at age 12. And he was respectful, but he asked them questions. And his questions showed that he was really interested in the subject. They weren't just off-the-wall questions. They were important questions. But he was very respectful when he did it. Then, and I love this part, I wish there were some other people here that are not here to hear it, but from age 12 to age 30, you know what he did? He worked. He worked with his hands. He did all sorts of labor. He was a laborer. He probably apprenticed under his father. His father was a carpenter. But, you know, in that part of the country, in that part of the world, there's actually a lot more stone than there is wood. So he not only worked with wood, but he worked with stone. He knew how to form stone. And when you work with stone, and you got to have a hammer and you got to beat on that stone. You know, you have to put it into the right shape so that it can fit into the buildings that you're building. And yeah, they had wood. There was all sorts of wood that was fabricated together with that stone. Jesus, from the age of 12 to the age of 30, was a builder. I like that word, a builder. He knew how to build things. And he did it. You don't start off being the boss. And I don't know that he ever was the boss, but I do know from the reading the scriptures that he earned enough money to take care of his family. And we see Joseph disappears down the road, you know, and yet he had brothers and sisters and a mom, and they were all taken care of. You know, they weren't indigent, you know. He took care of them by earning a living, working a great deal with his hands, but he used his head too. You know, I'm not taking anything away from that. I just want you to know that work is the backbone of the called and chosen and faithful children of God. Work is the backbone. If you don't work, according to the scripture, you don't eat, you know? And the guy that said that, he meant that. Eternal life is the free gift of God, but you still need to work very hard in this particular life. That's the way God designed it. I know that you know that we have been called and chosen to become kingly priests and of God. But Jesus did not learn to be our Savior by being born into royalty. Could have been. You know, he and his father could have designed it that way. There was no reason why they couldn't have designed it that way. But they didn't. And they didn't design it that way for a purpose. He was not born into royalty. He learned, and I'm not going to tell you where the scripture is. You probably already know better than I. But he learned by the things he endured. And when you look that thing up, that means that he went through trials and tests just like you do, just like I do. He went through those trials and tests, and he learned. Here he is, God, but he learned by the things that he endured. So we should expect, if we're going to try to live like Jesus Christ, we should expect to have to endure a few things ourselves. To me, that only makes sense. I'm not going to present an analogy. I love analogies. I love metaphor. You know that. I've said that before. How does God make diamonds? I saw that guy in the back that I like so much. He said, like that. God exerts unbelievable pressure over eons of time and squishes coal, which is carbon, elemental carbon, squishes it over eons of time, and the most exquisite, expensive, and highly desired gemstone that mankind has ever sought after is the result. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I remember learning that when I was pretty old. I was in high school before I learned that diamonds were made out of coal, crushed together. Incredible pressure over time. Tight, tight, tight. It's the truth. Look it up on the internet. You know, you got one of those smart things, you know, they'll tell you. This is an analogy, brethren. This is an analogy. I want you to think about it. I consider you intelligent enough that I don't have to rub your nose in it and tell you what it means. I want you to think about it, you know. Talk about it in message chat afterwards if you want to. We, you and I, we are called jewels that God is making to adorn eternity. Isn't that cool? We are going to be jewels. And what God is going to do with that jewels, I don't know. You know, the Apostle Paul said, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. You know, I don't know what he's going to do with these things, but you don't just throw them on the ground. Use them. And they will adorn, means make beautiful, eternity. But, moving right along, when Jesus turned 30, he entered a different type of work. He began a different line, so to speak, of work. He became an itinerant preacher. Now, if you examine those words, itinerant preacher, some of them, you know, are negative. But don't think about the negativity. Think about what Jesus became when he was 30. It was something else. And don't forget, the main point of my giving this message today is that you and I are to become like Jesus. Okay? We're to become like Jesus. He is the example. Jesus is our example. We're to become like him. So, what was it that Jesus did? He didn't just stand around on a soapbox, that's right, I had to look at my words. He didn't just stand around on a soapbox and preach. Now, he did preach. He was a good preacher. He did preach. He preached as no other person ever has preached or ever will be able to preach, but that's not all he did. He didn't just sit there or stand there and preach, but what else did he do? And I want to tell us all three things that Jesus did that I believe that we should and actually even can do. First thing that Jesus did was talk to people. He talked to people. He met them. He met them where they were. He didn't ask them to be somebody else. He met them where they were and then he interacted with them. He talked to them. And the other thing is, well, he talked to them. You know what he did? He listened to them. They'd tell him stuff, and he listened. And then he would take that thing, crush it. No, he wouldn't do that. But he would take what they had to say, and then he would use it in what he was going to share with them, because what he had to share with them was very valuable. Very valuable. Incredibly valuable. But it doesn't do any good if you're talking to somebody and you don't listen to them and you don't care about what they're having to say. And Jesus did that. In his entire life, he did. Okay, that was one thing. That was the first thing. I want to give you... Don't count. I counted these things up, and I came up with four, and I said three. But don't pay any attention to my numbers. I was an English teacher. I wasn't a math teacher. So I make those mistakes. But anyway, let me give you three concrete examples of how Jesus used facts to teach eternal truth. Number one, people need to eat. Everybody needs to eat. I like to eat. Don't you? Don't you like to eat? I mean, don't you want me to finish up so we can go have some snacks? Yeah, of course you do. You're human. The gospel shows us that Jesus fed lots of people, hundreds, thousands, in fact. But you and I don't work miracles, at least I don't. How many can you feed? I mean, right now, how many can you feed? my wife, I know she brought some coffee. We get to drink coffee. Brought some. You know what she did? I got to tell you this. Sorry, I'm off my point now, but I got to tell you what. She made salsa out of our guavas. We grow guavas. They're beautiful. And we got them all over the place, hundreds. This guy came to work on a thing in the street the other day, and he was eyeing the guava tree, and Suzanne said, yeah, go ahead and take all you want. Because when we came home from the feast, those things were just falling off the trees. So he picked quite a few. He didn't pick them all. But she went, I bet you the people would like some guava salsa. Please don't eat it all, because I want it. I'm just kidding. She made a lot. Okay. But I have a little story I want to tell in that regard. This guy, he's not here today, so I can talk about him. This guy wanted to go to the store. He doesn't have a car. So he called me up and he said, would you take me to the store? And I said, sure, I'll give you a ride. Took him to the store, bought what he needed. And as we were coming home, one of the things that he bought were three big bunches of grapes. Oh, those luscious kind of green California grapes, ripe, juicy. He said, Skip, would you like some of the grapes? I said, you bet. You know, so he had three bunches and he gave me one of the bunches. I was eating on this the week before we went to the feast for a whole week, because with great amounts of self-control, only ate two or three at a time. You know, I just went, I don't know, go like that. But I didn't. I only ate two or three at a time. They lasted all week. Fresh out of the refrigerator, they were so good. He shared with me what he could give. He didn't work a miracle. He didn't turn it into a grape orchard or whatever. He shared with me what he had. And that was something that Jesus Christ did. Now I know he was God, but he did what he could do. Moving right along toward the end, but I'm not there yet, so don't push. Brethren, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do to help somebody, anybody, be happy because you're a Christian? What do you do? What do you physically do that you don't call attention to yourself, but you just do it because it makes the other person happy? That's the way Jesus was. I want you to look at something else that Jesus did. He intentionally made a lot out of a little. I know you know where I'm going, so I'm not going to ask you to turn to that. But the point I want to make is how it started. Not what he did, but how it started. You can read about it in John 6, you know, but I know you know the story already. But I do want to emphasize, one thing, that he got these fish, two little fish, and the five little loaves, he got them from a little boy. He got them from a little boy. And that little guy had to, that was his lunch. Maybe that was his dinner. Maybe that was all he had. And the little guy, for whatever reason, looked at Jesus and he said, well, you know, so what? His disciples didn't even want Jesus to interact with the little ones. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute too. But the little kid, whoever he was, you know, we don't have his name in scripture, but he gave him to Jesus, and Jesus worked a miracle and fed those 5,000 people. That's cool in my book. I want to conclude, I said that before and I'm going to do it now. I want to conclude this message with one final example of how Jesus acted. I hate that word, acted. I hate it. Jesus was real. He wasn't an actor. He was a real person, lived on earth. He was real. He wasn't an actor. Jesus meant and lived everything that he said and did. But let's turn to Mark 10. I will ask you to turn one time. That's why I got my Bible. Mark 10. And we'll read about an incident that appears at first trivial. It appears trivial. I have to admit that myself. But that Jesus himself shows is astronomically important. It's not trivial. Whatever that word is. It's important. Mark 10, starting in verse 13. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. The parents bring the little kids up there. Hey, touch them, Lord. Touch our kids, you know. But the disciples rebuked them. Why? What was the matter with the disciples? Well, I'll tell you what it was. They weren't converted yet. You know, they hadn't had the Holy Spirit inside of them yet. They had God with them, but it wasn't inside of them. So the disciples said, yeah, don't bother the Lord. You know, he's got important stuff to do. Big guy stuff. Don't bother him. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them. And then he said something takes your breath away, and sometimes you have to wonder what he was talking about. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And if you look this up on the internet or any of the commentators, a lot of them will give you a correct meaning for what Jesus meant. So I'm not going to go into that. Do your homework, you know. But you already know. You already know. You've heard this. I've heard this in my years many, many times. And I think that we know what he was talking about. Then verse 15. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. That is not hard to understand. I get that. If you can't be as simple and, the word is humble, as a little child, you, I see my son's kindergarten teacher out there listening to me today, and I think about that. She knows, and my wife, who was an early childhood education teacher, knows that the little ones, you all know that. They're humble. They don't even know enough to be that horrible word, you know, proud yet. We teach them. We teach them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. I'll make 3 points and then I'll sit down. Number one, Jesus wants us to be like little children in several ways, but one of them is Jesus wants us to come to him and to want to be like him. He's setting an example. That's number one. Don't miss that point. Number two, don't get in the way of anyone that wants to be like Jesus. They may not be of our fellowship, but if they're sincere about wanting to be like Jesus, don't get in their way. Don't slap them upside the head and say, well, you don't know what the holy days are all about. Let me teach you. You know, that's okay. That's okay. In God's good time, he will show them and they'll accept. But you don't have to do that. If they love Jesus Christ and they're not preaching some kind of phony baloney, don't bug them. Number three, and I'll quote this, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not ever enter it at all. If you and I, remember when I talk to you, I'm talking to myself. If you can't get as simple as a little child, you won't ever get into God's kingdom. So that's my message. I went to God's Feast of Tabernacles. I heard God's word preached, and I learned it again, that God, both Father and Son, love us more than we can imagine. And they want us to live and be like how Jesus lived. So keep it simple.